listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to all, and ahoy to you, Ham.
Thank you, sir. Ahoy to you.
Ahoy to you, Jacko.
Ahoy.
And ahoy to Joe in Ireland, who has told us through the very simple way.
Difficult to navigate.
Of just uploading some audio on the website, hamishnandy.com.
Desktop attached file.
What he is up to today.
Ahoy, boys. Joe here from Ireland. Myself and my wife are expecting a baby soon, This morning, in preparation, I'm making my routine even more efficient. Rather than eating porridge and toast separately, I just poured the porridge between two slices of toast, and now it's a lovely toasted porridge sandwich I can eat on the go. Fast and loose.
It's the new up and go. Porridge sandwich.
Sounds so gross.
No, it sounds pretty good, actually. Depends what kind of porridge it is. I'd eat a banana, cinnamon, honey...
Toasty?
Porridge.
Toasty? Porridge toasty?
Definitely would.
You know what he should do?
Don't tell me what to do.
Joe should do. Yeah, or you.
No, you can tell me what to do.
Probably a bit more effort, so it goes against the fast and loose, but a jaffle. Like putting it in a jaffle so it...
Mate, that's not what we're about. I mean, we're just jamming foods together here.
I know,
we're not trying to win MasterChef.
Porridge's going to come out the side of the toast, isn't it?
Enjoy it. Grab it, eat it quick so it doesn't.
Hey, may I kick the show off today with power moves?
Yes.
Great. So I know you probably have a few waiting to go.
And we're always gonna... so many. Now, the week to week, it becomes difficult to select what's going to go in. And the problem is, like, 5 hours ago, I might have seen one, but then you see another one earlier.
Yep.
You can often just go with the one that's in your mind at the moment. I mean, there's so many great ones that come in. And thank you to everyone that submits.
And I don't want to appear to be favouring people, but this one came direct to my inbox, not through the hamishnandy.com.
How?
Because it's from our favourite actor.
Jeremy Irvine. Favourite human actor.
He was our favourite human actor in War Horse, the film, Steven Spielberg. The horse was our favourite.
Horse actor.
I'd say animal actor.
Chips the horse.
I'm not sure if it was Chips.
Double check that, Jack. Don't pretend you're checking.
Jeremy Irvine just said, can I put forth a couple of power moves for the group?
Yes, you can. Of course
you can. In his downtime while filming the new Jason Bourne TV series.
He's doing a TV series? Yeah, I think it's on Amazon.
Yeah, he's doing it he's in Budapest.
Cool.
He wants this for the group to see if either of them would be good enough for the coffee table book.
Great.
First one, he said, legend or arsehole, he reckons. Not sure.
Yep.
He said, if people are telling you a fact... use the saying, I think I'll be the judge of that. It feels like something your dad would do a lot.
He gives an example. That was my whole childhood.
He gives an example. Hi, I'll be your waiter this evening. My name's Sarah. I think I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, he's even judging her name.
I think that's good because she walks away wondering, is she going to be the waiter? I think it's definitely an arsehole move.
It is an arsehole move. It puts you in a position of power to judge someone's position and name.
This one is one he's been enjoying on set at the moment and would work in any workplace.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in a scene with another actor, wait until there's a break and then quietly say, don't listen to them. I think you're doing great.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's right there with the old, I don't care what anyone says.
Yep.
I don't think you're a tight ass. Good, really good.
So nice to hear from Jez again.
Love to hear from Jez, favourite human actor. Good to see he's still going strong too.
Yeah.
We, of course, will be watching the series with bated breath.
Yep.
I quite like this. This is from Patrick, and he credits his brother. He says, my brother Connor's come up with this one, and when you're out with a mate and you meet people, brackets, i.e. girls at a bar. Okay. So this is a power move that might be coveted by many. It is an asshole move. Tell the people that you've met that your mate does a perfect impression of someone he can't do an impression of. They'll jump on board and peer pressure him with you. He'll have to either wing a perfect impression or back down and look shy and weak, giving you the alpha position.
Yeah. I felt this today. It was a little bit of elements of it when you guys were asking me to do a Simpsons impersonation.
Yeah,
and
I nailed my mark.
Yeah. Pretty good. I'm very good. Matthew Wilmot writes in, and I love this one because it's planned power.
Good.
He says, I've just seen one of the biggest power moves ever. On an online platform for university, you have to access folders created by the professor. For instance, lecture notes, assessments, practice exams. He said, we all just opened the folder recently and there was a folder in there that says, subfolder, final exam answers. He said, of course, all the students are thinking, gee, this could be a mix-up. I must take advantage of that. As we opened that folder, a clip of Rick Astley saying, singing I'm Never Going to Give You Up came up and the lecturer is the winner.
A classic Rick Rowling.
Yeah.
Very, very good. I mean, that's a Hall of Famer. That is a Hall of Famer. From Phil. Phil brackets the legend. So already you get the idea that Phil's the kind of guy that's looking out for ways to increase his power.
Yep.
He goes, look, can I let you know about a great power move I've been working on at work? He goes, I've got a project manager who likes to book in meetings at 8:30, mm-hmm. clearly knowing that I arrive on the site at 8:45 or arrives into the office at 8:45. That's his start time. He goes, I saw this as a blatant arsehole power move
by the
manager because he's trying to just drag him in early. He goes, so I've been fighting back with my own power move where I come in at 8:40, 10 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
But then without the project manager seeing him, but then sit at my desk and quickly send an email saying, ready when you are. So he's fighting back to make it look like he's been waiting 10 minutes.
I like that. James Gregg is this fellow's name. Two G's at the end of Gregg, not at the start, which would be a weird surname.
To Gregg.
But yeah, Greg with two G's at the end, meaning that it's definitely a surname.
Yeah.
Not Greg James.
Three G's total.
He goes,
same amount of G's as every other letter.
best exercised when enjoying a delicious treat.
Sorry, yep.
There's always that person that comes along and says, hey, what do you got there? Or can I have a bite? Those are the two questions. Yep. One leads to the other.
Big time.
Casually responding with, you wouldn't like it. Leaves them in no position.
That's good.
To try and go for it.
Yes, I would. Can I finish on this, Ando?
Yes.
I love this power move because it is a helping hand to a situation that's got to be one of the classic passive-aggressive battlegrounds mm-hmm. of all time. The armrest.
Oh, yes.
On a plane, okay? Look, for situations when you have got the middle seat on an aeroplane. So that's the toughest seat to have because you face enemies on east and west fronts.
Yep.
So you're fighting two battles at once. Even for Sun Tzu, he would have struggled to strategize the perfect art of war to try and figure out how to win both armrests. Because if the person next to you has got one of the armrests, if the person on the aisle side has got one, strategically get up to go to the toilet or just walk up to the toilet. When you come back, they have to get up, allowing you a moment. You sit down first, Reese's power.
I like it.
It guarantees you at least one armrest. Nice, Brock.
Hey, we haven't done one of these for a while, but you and I, we used to, particularly in cafes, if we heard a conversation.
I mean, it started in New York years and years ago, 2011, whenever that was. We did the show, you know, we were living in New York for a little while and we would do the show from your loft, your lair.
Mm.
And we'd overhear a lot of stuff in New York.
Yep.
And it carried on from there.
And some people's conversations are so iconic and often so stereotypical.
They're great.
That it's worth us to write them down verbatim. That was the rule. You had to note verbatim what was being said.
True. And it helps because sometimes we do work from a cafe and you've got your laptop open and you can just jump onto a new file.
Had to jump on an opportunity.
Yep.
I was dropping keys off to Beck at a nail salon.
Great.
During the week.
Yep.
And there were three groups of girls all getting their nails done.
Nail salons are ripe for it.
Up for an upcoming formal.
Great. There's some of the best eavesdropping in the world. I've done a bit of, you know, quiet husband sitting in the nail salon just going, what is this place? There's always that one guy that's really into pedicures. About 55.
So I was with Beck and I said, sorry, Beck, I'm just going to have to stop listening to you and listen to this and take down the notes.
Good.
And we were tucked away in a corner, Beck and I, and so I could hear these groups of girls talk about a predicament for their upcoming formal.
Right, high school formal.
High school formal. I wrote down the exact conversation.
Do I have my lyric sheet?
Yep. I've sent it to you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yep. Paperless.
Paperless. Yep.
One moment. Yep, got it.
So I will be girl one in this situation.
Okay.
And you will be girl two.
Gotcha.
And as per normal, Jack will be the narrator. And we...
And you're going to put it to music.
We'll do a live song.
One take. One take?
One take.
Okay, here we go. Let me just quickly read ahead. Oh, good. Got it. This goes out to those girls, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you hear about Georgia?
No. What's happened?
The poor thing. She's got bronchitis and tonsillitis and a cold. And what's even worse is she was meant to be hosting Prees.
Oh my God, that's devastating. So where are we gonna have Prees? Where?
Well, we're going to Ruby's now. Obviously, Georgia's not coming to the formal, but it's Super Orcs because she still wants to come to Prees.
Oh, well, she can't come to Prees. Imagine if she got everyone sick. Well, imagine.
Well, yeah, that's the issue. But she still wants to come to Prees and wear a mask.
Yeah, I feel bad for her that she's missing out on the formal, but she just can't come to Prees. I don't want to get sick.
We don't want her at Prees.
Even in the mask, you don't want a sick, sick dog coming to Prees. Now I'm freestyling. They didn't say dog, but they thought it. We all
don't
know that
lip.
They thought it.
The narrator's coming in.
Sorry.
So the last line was, she just can't come to Prees.
Then the topic changed and one girl left because she was late for a spray tan.
That's beautiful.
Brutal. Brutal for George. So I meant sick as a dog.
What do you mean?
Because I think I said this, you don't want a sick dog.
Oh, right.
you know what I mean. You know what my brain was
saying. Yeah, sick as a dog, yeah.
I mean, you know.
I didn't hear that bit. I was too busy trying to stop you at least.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, just a little clear up. Okay, Ando, now this is a special skill that needed investigating.
Okay, great.
Is it possible we have found the world's most lethal fly killer with his bare hands? Hayden wrote into the show. Special skill, killing flies, brackets, bare hands. Obviously, okay. Just in case he thought we'd stop reading there going, yeah, I have three cans of Mortine and I'm deadly.
Yep.
He says, yes, I am faster than a fly. At home, we like to leave the doors open to let a nice breeze through the house. Unfortunately, with all my awesome cooking, brackets, another special skill.
Okay, yeah.
This attracts many flies.
Flies don't come to just cooking. They come to bins.
He might be
and
doing
chops.
He might be cooking chops.
Okay.
Two flies at any one time in the house is a rule. Any more than that and I'm on the hunt. So he has a lenient policy.
Yeah,
so he's sort of like, look, we're all in this planet together.
Yeah.
No, I'm not just going to kill you for thrills, but let it be known, two's the limit. Attached to two photos. One is of three dead flies, brackets, 5 minutes work. Another is a fly who had no idea what he was in for. Sometimes I leave the dead flies around the kitchen as a warning to any new flies that dare venture inside. Happy birthday, Andy. I hope this skill warrants an 8 coin. Now,
it doesn't.
Here's my question to you, Andy. I mean, I was reading this, I was enjoying the read.
Yep.
And I was just thinking to myself, how do we possibly test this? Like, do we have to get a house and fill it with some flies and he has, like, is it like some sort of sick post-apocalyptic game show where he's got to find the flies and kill them? How do we know where the flies are? How do we know there weren't any flies in the house to begin with?
Well, I mean, first question off the bat is, how are we feeling about animal cruelty when it comes to flies?
I think flies are okay.
Jack?
I mean, I kill flies at home, so I mean, I can't say
guys,
I don't
guys,
do it.
It's not, he's not saying
I know, but like
I kill unicorns for fun.
I know, but if we set up a test, are people going to go, I mean, I'm fine with them. Don't worry about
flies. Flies.
Like, but I'm saying, like, we're not going to get a, oh.
Who? Peter?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I'm
I'll
about,
take the call.
Okay, yeah.
I'll take the call here.
Okay,
it's flies. It's bare hands.
Sarah, is that fine? Oh, no, she doesn't want to be drunk.
Like
she doesn't like it.
But flies don't have feelings.
They really don't. Well, Louis the Fly doesn't that add. But let's remember, these flies aren't like gruff-voiced cartoon characters.
Yeah.
These are flies.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend human beings don't have an impact sometimes on flies.
Okay.
Well, there's a whole industry set up to, you know, if Mortine was the sponsor, we'd be taking the sweet dollar.
Yeah, that's
we'd
true.
Be taking the money.
That's true.
We'd be taking, if AeroGuard was a sponsor, we'd be taking that.
Well, that's repelling. That's not killing them.
Oh, yeah, but then it hurts their feelings and they go away.
They can't hug you. Hayden joins us, I see. Hayden, how are you?
Ahoy.
Ahoy. Ahoy,
Hayden. Now, you're obviously swatting flies, whacking flies, clapping above a fly.
Yeah, that's what I want to find out.
These are skills that everyone has. You grow up with these, trying to destroy a fly when it bothers you.
Are you out of midair, Hayden, with two hands clapping together, or are you against a window? What's your move?
Against the window is pretty easy. They don't seem to know where they are. Vertical's tricky. So if the fly's on a wall, that's a hard one.
Yep.
But if it's just on a flat surface, little clap in the zone, and they're done. Yep. And if it matters at all, I am vegetarian, so I'm on the animal train, but I can't
fly. Yep. Well, there you go.
Completely ethical segment.
When he says clap them,
clapping in midair. I want you to take us inside the mind of a man that can move faster than flies.
Yeah.
What are you looking at the way the fly is pointing to anticipate which way it's going to take off?
Not so much. It's more about bubble movement, getting in the set position. So having your arms in the right spot, really slow.
Okay,
for a few seconds, and then. Bang.
So you've got a skill of acting innocent near the fly, so you act in a non-threatening manner.
Oh, totally, yeah. I'm like, yeah, definitely.
So you're not going down on the fly onto a bench.
What?
You're
like...
You're not...
I mean, he's showing them, he's relaxing them, but he's not...
You're not... You're not squashing down.
He's better.
If they're on like a plate, if they're on like food or sitting on a glass or something, you're gonna make a
you
mess.
Can't squash.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. So you care about collateral damage as well.
Oh, of course.
So these are surgical. Yeah. This is surgical strike.
If we put six flies in a room,
how long would it take you to deliver us six corpses?
Once you start with the first one, the rest will get a little bit stirred up.
Why, really? Is there communication amongst the...
Oh, man. I don't know, but they go mental. But, I mean, if there's some food around, I'm sure they'll sit still long enough. I'd say at home, for example, probably comfortably do... 3 minutes.
Oh, to a minute.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, okay.
So if we set up a
whereabouts
room...
Whereabouts do you live, Hayden?
Yeah, what's...
Sunshine Coast.
Okay, so you're going to fly this guy in.
Now, if we them. say we were to fly you down to Melbourne, which is where we do the podcast from, any difference with a Victorian fly over a Queensland fly?
Well, I had already had a think of the scenario. They might be a bit quicker, they might be a bit slower. Could be a bit of me adjusting. So,
A cold air fly versus a lazy warm air fly could be a little faster.
Right.
Well, I think had six, if we gave you...
The other scenario is you guys are welcome to come up here.
You might have noticed a pattern that we prefer to fly people in.
Yeah. Hayden, six flies, one room, not a large room, probably a studio size.
Yep, we can put him in the boardroom.
Yep. Six flies... One room.
I'd give him 6 minutes.
6 minutes, four flies.
Yep.
So 6 minutes to kill four flies.
Yep.
Yeah, because I think two might
disappear.
The doors are closed. There's no escape.
We'll make sure there's no air vents.
6 minutes, four flies.
Four flies. We need four confirmed
too easy?
Kills. Four confirmed
kills.
Well,
he was saying he can do 2 a minute, so why don't we go...
Why don't we go four minutes?
Why don't we put 10 flies in there, mate? Like, why are we being so stingy on the flies? Let's put 10 flies in. He's got 5 minutes.
To bring back...
Seven what? Kills.
Okay, how's that for the terms?
Okay, sorry, you lost me there. Start again.
10 flies.
You got 10 live flies in the room.
5 minutes.
Yep.
Seven heads.
Seven kills.
Yep. Yeah, it should be doable. Yep.
Hayden will organise the transportation and Haim will field that call from Peter. But I think we'd be good to go.
Cool.
All right, all the best, mate.
Make sure we get flies at the end of their lives that were about to die naturally anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Ando, I suppose I come to you slightly hat in hand. With an admission of defeat or confusion.
Yep.
I've got a bar fridge in the garage that I used to store beer in.
Yes.
Can't take heaps. It's a pretty small fridge.
Okay.
It can't even really take a slab. You have to take all the beers out.
And
It probably can take 3 6-packs and then you squeeze a few other ones in.
Okay.
Now, it's one of these, it's like a classic, like, you know, small white bar fridge, and the upper right-hand corner is the freezer bit that you might be able to get a tray of ice cubes in, kind of thing. But you know what I mean? It's like a little cupboard that's a freezer.
It's generally just for the ice cubes.
Yeah, you wouldn't, maybe an ice pack. Sometimes I remember at primary school, I think we had a bar fridge and that's where the ice pack was. Anyway, that's the kind of fridge I'm talking about. I go to get some beers yesterday to get a 6-pack out, and they've been in there for days, and they're warm. Now, the light's on. Everything, the dials are right. Then I notice the freezer bit is completely solid with ice.
Right.
I think the fridge has frosted over.
Mm.
But I remember this being a thing when I was growing up where mum and dad would
defrost the fridge.
Where mum and dad were like, oh no, we've got to defrost the fridge.
Yes.
What does that mean? What is that? Because I've never lived in a time, we've always had a frost-free fridge.
Yes.
Ever since I moved out. Like,
I had to defrost the fridge for my, and the okay, we had a fridge and a big size freezer, like the size of the fridge freezer next to it growing up.
Yeah.
Because mum's family were all farmers and they'd send meat down, so we had to always keep the meat for like a month.
Yeah.
And I had to defrost the freezer. And what I could gather was like every time we open, air goes in, and obviously air cools down and water
is in the air.
Is in the air and hence creates frost and then frost builds and builds and builds and builds.
And would that be stopping my fridge from, because it's like obviously it's so jammed in that freezer.
Yep.
It's the fridge now is a warm cupboard with this ice block in the corner.
Yeah.
Is that a defrost the freezer situation? Or defrost the fridge?
I'm not sure. Do we have someone? I mean,
well, I've asked Mike, Radio Mike, to go through our podcast list, people that filled out the form, and simply, and I don't know this to be ageist, but simply find someone that's older than us. He's found Greg, who I believe is 60.
Do you have a dial for the freezer and a dial for the fridge?
No.
Okay.
It's just a dial for the whole thing, and I turned it up colder.
Yep. Turn it colder.
Which doesn't seem to have helped.
No, it just seems to have been...
Do I have to get in there with a chisel and a hairdryer or something to melt that out?
Yeah, well, let's confer with Greg, Greg, ahoy.
Yeah, Greg's here, yeah.
Yeah, great, okay. Greg. Thank you, mate. Look, I guess calling you is sort of
a wiser head.
Mm. My dad's in Japan at the moment. I guess I'd call Dad normally.
Mm.
I've got a bar fridge. Did you hear what we were just talking about there, or was Radio Mark getting you on the phone?
No, that's fine. I heard what you're talking about. You're sort of... fridges and freezers and freezing up and getting hot and getting cold.
Yeah. Why is my bar fridge hot?
But the little contraption inside, a little cupboard.
The tiny little freezer cupboard, that's completely full of ice now.
All right. So that's probably pretty easily explained, I think, because the reason it freezes up because probably the circulation of the water's not coming through and so you've really got to remove that cover and sort of just let it turn it off for probably... 10, 15 minutes, turn it back on and put the cover back on. I think you'd be pretty much covered then, eh?
Well, switch on, switch off for thee. Greg, I was about to say the same thing. What we had to do is we had to turn it off completely.
Yeah, right.
And then you could either just leave it off and wait for the ice to melt with the door open.
Yeah.
Or get in there and chip away, which Hamish is not going to do. I can see on his face right now.
How much would a new one cost?
So maybe you don't have to go to the expense of getting a new one when that's the only problem.
He will, Greg. He's lost touch with the common man.
No, he hasn't.
Well, you could go to the auctions. I might do that.
I might go and get a spare part because things is valuable.
yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, a penny saved is a penny made, isn't it?
Yeah, Greg, do you have a bar fridge?
Yes, I've got a bar fridge and...
I was going to say, because I think there'll be one on the front lawn at Hamish's Nature Strip soon.
No.
In the hard rubbish.
We'll fix this.
That seems like
we'll
it's going to work.
We'll fix this, baby. We're going to get in there. I have had a fridge before that we had a fridge freezer, like a fridge up top freezer down below when I was in the share house. First one we ever bought. That completely froze over in the freezer, but it didn't affect the fridging capacity because they're in different cupboards.
Cupboards, yeah. Nah.
I suppose it depends... When you're in a share house, who's got the freezer section, who's got the fridge section?
I haven't lived in that share house now for 6 years, but I could call up John and go, I think it's your turn to do the fridge. I mean, he's pretty vague from time to time. He might just wander over to my house and do the freezer in the garage.
Greg, thank you so much for
That's
your time.
That's good, Greg.
Nice to have a wife.
I really know nothing about fridges.
Well, you came across well. Stuff.
Yep.
Oh, did I? Oh, good. Well,
what would be your preferred area of expertise in case we get you on again?
I'm a general auctioneer. Yeah, I sell trucks and tractors and...
Good to know.
Yeah, machinery and...
fridges.
What could you pick up a wheat thrasher for these days?
Oh, wheat thrasher, sort of, you know, with or without the horses.
With?
Oh, with the horses. So, yeah, there's a chap here that has the draft horses. I'd probably have to get them on a rental basis, but otherwise wheat thrashers probably... Probably around that $3,500 without the draft horses.
That's where we would have pinned it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks
so
much.
Good to know what
the
market's saying.
Nice to have a wise head in this show for a change, and we might ring you in the future if we've got any other things we need.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, I'm here all the time, and sort of, yeah, my children call on me all the time, so there's no reason you shouldn't.
when you say I'm here all the time, Greg, do you mean near your phone?
Yeah. I'm always on my phone.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Okay,
bye.
Good luck with it. Bye.
Well, this is very exciting. Last week on the show, was it last week?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. I spoke to you, Tommy, on the phone. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, boys. Thank you.
We love it on this show when a special skill comes up where it's something we do all the time or it's an activity or an action you undertake, but you're doing it to a professional level, verging on a superhuman level if what you say is true.
I'll read out what he wrote. Can backspace to the exact letter / space on a Word doc?
We're talking about here holding down the backspace key.
Yep.
So you're getting that fast-paced multiple delete.
Yep.
And we said...
The run-on, essentially.
Yep. And we said it can be on any computer.
Yep. I'm open to it. So
That's the exciting thing for me. A lot of people could get used to their home ground advantage. They may have a slower backspace.
Yep. I've got my MacBook Pro here, not sponsored, because it's not this...
Would love to be.
Jeez, yeah. I mean, it's not this year's MacBook Pro. It'd be very interesting getting one. just a 15-inch fully spec'd out.
Yeah.
Cheers. This is from a few years ago, so you're slowing down now. But... I've just realised that. You know, sometimes you do backspace and after a while, is that just on phones after it starts doing the word?
The whole words.
So Word documents, it just stays at a consistent space.
Correct. I checked that overnight.
What are you backspacing at your job? Like what stuff?
Just general reports, that sort of thing.
What kind of field are you in?
So social work.
Right. Yep. So you might write something and then go, hang on second thoughts.
Pretty much, yeah.
Use the backspace.
Thank you for stepping us through it.
Yeah. And so you find it's great for undoing the last few things you've written so you can, so you can write something else.
Yeah, pretty much.
You use it in the traditional way.
Yeah, good. Tom, the way it's going to work is... There'll be three challenges as set out by Hamish. He's got the document set up with information on it.
Yep. What I've done
I
have gone to the internet and cut and pasted, or copy and pasted from Wikipedia, Jack Post's Wikipedia page. Now, a lot of your radio show history with us from back in the radio show days is on here, like Cool Boys and the Front Man.
Great.
So what I'm going to do is, you can see this in front of you now, Tom. We've got a bunch of paragraphs here about Jack's past.
Yeah.
I am going to pick a paragraph and then we will pick a letter to delete back to. We've just got like one line up, so we're not here for hours.
I like it.
Okay, so I'm going to pick this paragraph. Along with the radio show, Post made many appearances in the Comedy Duo's TV shows. Post made appearances as the show's butler in Hamish and Andy's Gap Year in 2011-2012. Incorrect. Post also made a cameo in the second episode of the second season of True Story with Hamish and Andy. That is correct. I'll put it at the end of that sentence.
Yep.
I want you to delete back to the end of the word post here.
So stopping at just the end of T, or should we get him to take off the T? So POS.
Actually, yeah. Well, let's have a little haircut on post.
Yeah.
POS, want you to stop it at.
All right, before you go, Tom, we're going to give you three of these.
Yeah.
I think you need all three to earn yourself a coin.
Is that fair?
It's only a one coin and offer.
That's fair.
It's fair. Let's jump into it, Jack.
Space boy is right or wrong. We'll see.
You like that, Tommy?
Love that.
Yeah, do you get Backspace Boy a lot at work?
Semi-regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BSB.
Now, we've got all this set up to film. I'm going to do it in slow-mo. I might film this on my phone because I actually think I would love to see this in slow-mo.
Okay. Tom, at your leisure.
Does this bother you if I'm just slightly hovering over your hand in slow-mo?
No, should be right. Should be right.
Lovely. Okay, the cursor is in position.
Great.
You know what to get to. Back, we want to take the T off that post.
Yep. All right, here goes.
Started, I can see.
Okay, done. He's gone. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. He's landed it just at the tee. He's landed it just at the tee. I am going to say something. And here it is.
Yes.
Because I'd copied and pasted a hyperlink, it threw him. It didn't delete the hyperlink, did it?
It started at the...
It leapt past the hyperlink and dragged it with it. And I think you'd have an argument to say that distracted you. So the cursor wasn't eating up all the words like...
Live, it just did a bit...
It was dragging something along behind it.
Right.
And that, I'm willing to say...
I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you have.
Watch this. Watch what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
I'm going to delete the hyperlink.
Mm-hmm.
We're now got to clean into the sentence here, don't we?
Yeah.
Yep. And you've got a chance to hit that delete key, pedal to the metal, and try and land it back on and cut off the T.
Cut off the T.
There will be no second chances after this, but that was our fault.
Yeah. Is there a difference between the pace that a space comes off versus a letter, or do you think it's all the same?
I think it's pretty much the same, it jumps a little bit.
One character's a character?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Because you think an O gives you plenty of time. Well, question, yeah. Is a W more of a shock because suddenly there's a huge amount of real estate that's vanished? Or is an I...
That would be more of a shock.
Well, is that more of a shock because it's just a little bit that's vanished and the cursor hasn't moved much?
You're suddenly on to the next one abruptly.
Oh, I know where you are. I would say O's and W's would be amongst the biggest shocks you could encounter.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
What are your thoughts, O's or I's?
I'd go for an O.
Yeah, a bit more shocking.
Yeah, a bit more space.
That calms you down or that shocks you more?
It calms me down.
Oh, okay. Oh. So I was right. Okay.
Right. Okay.
We are going back in. Tom, focused on...
All right. You've got approximately 12 words to delete and then land it, delete the T off post. Go. He's put pedal to metal, he's flooring it, he's coming up, It's three words out, He's landed it on the T again.
I just wonder whether... whether he can do it. No. Do you think when you're practicing, are you trying to cut off words or are you...
Oh, you think he's so good that he always does a full word? Because you'd never delete mid-word, would you?
Generally, it'd be like the exact start of a word. So
the gap
between the full stop and the next letter.
So it's uncommon for you to cut a letter off one word.
It is, frankly.
Yeah. And I think that's been his undoing.
Yeah, we're asking you to shoot cans off someone's head when really you're an Olympic target shooter. You're like, look, I do deal with accuracy. I just don't do it this way.
Yeah.
Tom, we'll give you a token of no value.
All right.
Yep. Thanks so I'll much for that. Coming in. I'm glad we didn't fly you. We found out 2 weeks ago that you lived in Melbourne.
I'd like to see you go again.
All right.
For fun.
Yeah.
He is...
In his own time, or are we going to record this one as well?
I think we'll record this. What about this line? Post was criticised by Blakenley after his lack of stage presence in the halfway to the top tour in 2016.
Yeah, that was true. Yeah.
You're going to start at the end of 2016 and we're going to go back to the middle sea of criticised.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Just for fun.
You
said yourself...
About to press.
Eyes should calm you.
Good luck.
I should shock you. Here we go. He's zooming back through the words, as you can imagine now. Seen quite a lot. We're seeing letters delete before every eye. He just took off the up. He's got it!
He's got it!
It took me a second to realise that I was seeing. He's absolutely got it.
Again, for glory.
He's got it for glory. Andy's a stickler. Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, I'll take that.
I'm not, like, if you've bowled two no balls, I'm not going to get excited when you put one on the pitch.
Yeah. Okay. I am, because you bowled a perfect Yorker.
Thank you very much.
Tommy, that was beautiful. I was so happy to see that with my own eyes. I wonder how I would go. One for glory. Okay, I'm just going to do a little quick one here. I'm going to go for the N. Try and land it on that O. I'm going to keep the O. Here we go. Oh, geez. We have three levels. That was terrible. Well done.
Thank you.
I was two letters off. And you've seemed a little chipper lately. Not upset enough?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Upset him, Jack.
Everything is neat and practical, because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
Ando, can I start with a few visual ones today?
Sure.
This comes in from wonderful...
I'd like... Sorry, Ham, to cut you off, but I'd like it just towards the end of the year again...
upset me, I'm fast and loose.
...to do another delight, Andy.
Oh, I forgot about that. It wasn't very good.
Where people sent... I had one sent in the other day.
Yeah.
You know, not...
Oh, the reactions. I mean, what delighted you?
It was about...
Just a neatly stacked dishwasher or something.
Yeah, it was about cards being placed correctly in the Trivia Pursuit.
Like, oh, the right way round.
Right way round place.
Who cares? Spin them round. Fast and loose, Jack. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, just guarantees that you're not going to read the same thing when you open it up. You know where the last game started.
Sub game. Part of the fun.
Okay.
And this one comes in from Scott. You know, on some computers, perhaps older computers or maybe PC kind of situations, there's a very, very big monitor plug, VGA monitor plug that's got like 19 pins and so many pins on the side that there's those two bits you have to screw it in as well to fasten it. Scotty's just sent us a close-up of his laptop. He doesn't screw them in, mate. He doesn't have time. Too fast and loose. Does that annoy you not seeing that how unscrewed out those they are?
I would probably screw them in on my laptop, but I'm less annoyed.
You would get a mini wrench.
I'm less annoyed or upset about that on a laptop situation. If it was in a desktop,
I get the feeling the other end is in a desktop and he's loving it. I would snap those screws out.
If it was quite permanent,
I'd
definitely want to see them screwed tight.
I just think the screws are overkill, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, no. Obviously, the manufacturers didn't.
Oh, you can't trust them all the time. I mean, it's got 19 pins. It's not coming out. It's got if any plug doesn't need it, it's those ones.
What's next?
Tim. Mm-hmm. Tim, ahoy. Have you got something that might upset Andy?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Firstly, commiserations, Andy, on the inferior penis.
Thanks, Tim. You've come to me in a time in need.
You're off to a flight. No, I am trying. Thank you as well. Like, indirect thank you, Tim, on the compliment or the you know, the commiserations for Andy. It's an implied compliment to me, but I am trying to move past that.
Sorry.
Tim, go for it.
You know, when you've done your fresh laundry, it's all ironed and neatly folded on the bed, and all that's left to do is put it away in the drawers. So you pick up your shirts or your jocks and you chuck them in there and you go to push the drawer shut and just that top one gets caught in the drawer.
Yeah.
And you look at it for maybe half a second and you just walk away.
No, you don't.
You do.
You don't.
You
delete it. It would never have been chucking any...
it's one tiny irregularity in an otherwise perfectly closed set of drawers.
The one part where Tim is actually more uptight than me in that story, I'd never iron my T-shirts.
Yeah, whoa. But so if they were sticking out of it, but you'd fold them.
I'd fold them very well quickly.
Do you fold them?
Yeah. You got to fold them pretty much straight off the dryer or out of the dryer of the rack because then they're crease free.
Fast and loose, Andy. Impressive.
Fast and loose. It is a bit impressive, isn't it, Tim? My policy for T-shirts is don't stuff them too hard. If I keep a loose jumble in my drawer, I don't think the weight of the T-shirt or the weight of the other T-shirts will crease it. So I just go a soft jumble.
Soft jumble.
Well, for no ironing.
Yeah.
And loose. He's got time to iron, mate. Well, get it out, plug it in.
Like, I don't have time to iron.
But even the time to monitor the dryer cycle.
Okay.
Oh, 90 minutes. I don't know where I'm going to be in 90 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
Liam. Ahoy, Liam.
Ahoy, boys. Happy birthday, Andy.
No need.
Good man, Liam. Liam, upset this poor sweet boy.
It's actually me that's upset Andy in this situation. And my girlfriend is a little bit too fast and loose for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
She's recently got a table tennis table and they've put it in their living area. So there's plenty of like dining tables and chairs and couches in the area. A lot of room for a ball to get lost.
Yep.
What she does is when a ball goes out of play and bounces off, instead of getting that ball, she just grabs a new one straight away.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, yeah.
Does this over and over again, and then she just goes, we'll try and find them all at the end.
Yeah, collect them at the end.
No.
Sub game.
Because what you're leaving yourself wide open to is people coming around and you're not having a good enough ball to play with.
You find them.
No, ball inventory, you've got to keep your eye on it. It's like
a good one on the couch. Kids.
Anyway, I think we discussed this the other
day. Should be a good one on the couch.
Michael.
No, really good.
Thanks, Liam. Michael. Ahoy.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say happy birthday, Andy.
No, Mike.
So I was going into work the other day and I opened up my browser on my phone And rather than typing anything into my address bar, I just decided to open up a new tab.
Cool.
So I now currently have about 50 tabs open.
50 tabs.
Because I can't really be bothered to open up another tab on my web browser.
And you shouldn't. I mean, they can handle it. Those new web browsers could handle 1,000 tabs.
I clean out a tab.
Loose, mate.
As soon as I've finished with it, I'm deleting a tab.
I reckon I would find tabs in my phone that are open from, like, you know, interesting places to eat in Beijing from when we were there in 2008. Or something like that. It's a really nice, yeah. You can't trust your browser history. Look at your tabs.
It's funny you said that, Michael, because the other day I realized I had a lot as well, and I went through and I cleaned them out.
It horrified you.
Jeremy, ahoy to you.
Ahoy.
Ahoy,
Happy
Jess.
Happy birthday, Ando.
Good on you, mate. Thank you for lightening the load.
Don't actually celebrate them.
He does.
Unleash, Jess.
So I'm a uni student, and every day when I rock in, I bring one notebook.
Cool.
And when I sit down in my lecture, just flip it open to any random page.
I don't like that.
Down some notes.
Yeah.
And
you'll find
off them. Go fast and loose, baby.
Yeah.
You'll find them.
You will find them, mate.
Of course you will, Jeremy.
And, it's fine. And you know, just any subject, anywhere. So economics.
Write it on your hand. Write it on your head in reverse writing, so you can see it in the mirror, mate. Jeremy, the thing is, your brain as a leader of tomorrow. Someone that's going to cure global warming and solve the crises that face mankind. Your brain at the moment does not need to be weighed down by the stupid bureaucracy of having to put notes in order. Get your learning.
I think
in.
It's more taxing on your brain to have to find the note that you're looking for.
Good exercise for that fresh brain.
All right.
it reminds me of when actually someone DM'd me on Instagram with one. I just popped back into my head. Apologies. This person will know who they are, but I, off the top of my head, can't remember your name. Said, I've got an upset Andy for you. Essentially, they needed to, at their work, for backups, they had to save stuff into folders on their desktop for some reason. He goes, look, it takes ages to label the folder. He goes, so I'll just create a new folder and then just write, just tap his fingers on the keys, name it anything, like... And he goes, got 100 of them on the desktop, all randomly named. He goes, so when I need to find a file, it's a bit of fun trying to go back and...
No, it's not.
His absolute worst nightmare. A desktop full of folders, gobbledygook, labelled.
Heather,
wrap
this up, please.
Have you got one to upset Andy? Ahoy.
Yep, ahoy, boys. Happy birthday, Andy.
No, don't
good
actually...
On your head,
thanks for having me. Okay, mine is that I used to live in a share house. There were four of us, two couples.
Yep.
And pretty quickly, we lost all of the forks but one. I know who did it, but no one would admit it.
Yep.
And instead of someone just going out and buying a new pack of forks, we just, like, only one person got to eat with a fork at a time. So at dinner, it would be like, hey, can I use the fork when you're done? Or eat something with a spoon or with your hand.
Totally fine, Heather. Very rarely will everyone need a fork. It's like a lawnmower.
We didn't want to waste our time,
Like a shovel or a lawnmower. It's a one-use utensil. And a spoon will 95% of the time do the job of a fork. It really will.
I always gravitate to the spoon now. It's affected me long-term.
Heather, let's be honest.
Let's
be honest. You're telling me you can't eat a steak with a knife and a spoon? Of course you can.
Yeah.
You hold it down with the spoon. You cut it with the knife. You scoop it up with the spoon. It's actually a smarter way to eat it.
And that's exactly what three of us did.
Everything I hate. Inconvenient, untraditional.
I actually think
germs.
The fork is hanging in there based on some sort of outdated way of, you know, tradition of, quote, the way things used to be. A spoon is a very convenient scoop for your mouth.
Hey, quickly before we go, I was lucky enough to read this.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible drop.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Long-time listeners of this show would know that...
Have we done one on the podcast?
We may not have.
On the radio show, we'd bring it out maybe 6 months tops, every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
Because they're not... People go, oh, yeah, I saw something for well once, and that's not good enough.
Yep.
It needs to be an incredible drop, something dropped and that lands in incredible ways.
Our favourite of all time was a guy walking along with a long neck of beer... out of the bottle, and he...
It was in Queensland. It was a warm night.
It had
Why is that information? Because it was a dew-coated long neck.
Dewy sides. He was walking along the footpath. It slipped out of his hand.
On the return, he swigged, and the return of the hand to a casual position.
Yep, slipped out of his hand.
The momentum of the bottle continued through his hand.
Hit flush on the bottom,
and
then just bounced back up, and he caught it in the same stride. And had another swig.
And that's
incredible
that's
drop.
That is insane.
Ben joins us now.
Ben, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys. How are you going?
Ahoy,
Benny.
Thank you for reminding me that this segment exists. Yeah. I thought that people had perhaps forgotten, but what actually is more true is that it takes time to find one good enough to be in the podcast, and I feel like you've done that.
There's no universe that exists where you could have an incredible drop every week.
No.
Because by their sheer nature, they are one in a million events.
Yes.
And Ben, I don't know what yours is, but can I just say from the bottom of my heart, up front, thank you. Thank you for bringing this back into everyone's life.
Ben, explain to everyone the situation.
So, this drop happened the other day, having a picnic, very classic picnic situation. So we had the rug, the chairs, the Barbie going. Unfortunately, what we didn't have was a table. So you can really put down like any of your food or drink. You had to hold it, which is what my dad was doing. He was sitting in one of the chairs and he was holding hummus in one hand, crackers in the other.
Quick question.
Was enjoying them.
Lovely. Yep. Quick question, Ben. A foldable full-size camping chair, you can get the short-legged versions. How far off the ground was he? On a normal leg or a shorter, smaller camping chair leg?
No, these were normal legs. Yep. So he was pretty high up.
Yeah,
enjoying his
regular
day.
Height up. Hummus in one hand in a packet and crackers in the other.
Yep. So as he was holding them, something has distracted him. Mm-hmm. So in this distraction, he has dropped this open tub of hummus.
Oh, no.
And it's headed straight for the brand new rug. And so I saw this happening. My dad saw it happening. We both knew, you know, this was not good. Hummus, very oily, very thick. It's going to ruin this rug.
A nuisance.
It's a brand new tub of hummus, you know.
And a brand new rug.
As well.
I mean, the rug's going to ruin the hummus. The hummus will ruin the rug. It's a mutually assured destruction situation. Was it tumbling, spiraling, floating? How did it fall?
It was a rotation. So yeah. it was heading... Yeah, it was rotating, basically.
So heading down, so it rotated over and was heading hummus down.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Okay. Nightmare.
But what happened when my dad opened the hummus to eat it, he was very focused on getting to the hummus and eating the hummus, not worrying about where the lid should be going. So he's just chucked the lid on the ground, and that's lying there.
Yeah.
And so what's happened... The hummus has landed upside down on the lid, completely sealing it. No drops.
Sealed itself.
Resealing hummus. That is unbelievable. That is the equivalent. I mean, you can't think of a greater one.
No.
Apart from like if you're in the trenches at war, you take the pin out of the grenade, you go to throw it, you fumble the grenade, it rolls around, it lands back on the pin. it seals itself back up.
Ben, that it was incredible. It's of course an incredible drop. It's a great way for us to finish this week's podcast. And thanks very much for reaching out. We're going to send you a token of no value for that.
Yeah, we are going to send you a token of no value. Yeah, the first time we've done it to a caller, I think. Amazing.
Worth it.
Incredible drop.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.